Okay, I'd like to call the council meeting to order. We are 3 quarters of an hour late starting. You have an agenda. I have two changes to it. In light of the open-endedness of the public hearing, I would suggest we delete 13.1. And that we add under 17.2 another contract negotiations, and that's in camera. I'd entertain a motion to, are there any other additions, deletions to from the agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion to move by Councillor Waterman, seconded by Councillor Fisk. All in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. The first presentation today is from the Queen's Community Aquatic Society, and Deborah Herman-Spavinelli is going to lead the parade with Celeste, are you speaking too?
I'm speaking.
Okay. Are you speaking?
I'm
okay.
Speaking.
Thank you. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much to the council and the region for inviting us and giving us the opportunity to present our proposal for a pool for Queens. This is our group of 10 who are of a diverse range of talents and skills, but who are very committed to having a pool in the county. The first question, who uses an indoor pool, should actually be who does not use an indoor pool, because all ages use a pool, from infants to the oldest old. For all fitness levels, people with handicaps, disabilities can use it for therapy. For safety, we live in an environment full of water, to teach children to swim, for development and physical conditioning. In fact, a recent study out of Australia showed that children who swam did better all over developmentally, including in school. For competition, the Dam Busters could train all year long, and for, of course, fun and recreation. There's been an expectation for a pool for a number of years here, since the early 80s when Bowater had set aside funds for the pool. For the reports were done in 2001, 2005, 2007, in which 91% of the people wanted a pool. Adults and children listed swimming as a top priority. When Queen's Place was built, there was no pool in the end thus far. But it was designed to have a pool, and the infrastructure is there for a pool. Just recently, this is interesting, just recently there was a Nova Scotia Health Authority meeting here in Liverpool, and where we learned that Nova Scotians are not in as good a health as people in the rest of Canada. There are high rates of chronic diseases, and Queens has some of the highest obesity in the country. And it's the bottom line of that meeting was that it's the community responsibility to facilitate healthy living. So, as we said, recreational swimming is one of the most popular sports among people, and more than 3/4 of people do swim in the province in the summers. It's the number one sport facility for adults. And the thing that's important for this county, that as people age, the supportive and low impact environment of a pool is the most helpful. So who would be using our pool? Who would be the potential users? Well, there are 10,000 people in Queens, 14,000 in Shelburne. And so the estimated users would be about 10%. So where did we come up with these numbers? The comparison site that we've used throughout a lot of our estimates has been Dalhousie, New Brunswick, which has a population of only 3,500, although the whole area has a larger population. They have the same size pool that we're proposing. Right now there are 20 full-time members at the LCLC, and there are many people from Queens County who use it as day passes. And actually the other day I met someone in the lane next to me who was the 21st member from Queens, and he said that he moved to Queens at the time when he thought there was going to be a pool here. So he's just one example of others. So our proposed pool. This Deborah did the work for the actual structure and the proposal, and she worked very closely with Bill Burke, who has built more than 30 public pools across Canada. And the pool that, and he knew the footprint and the infrastructure, the pipes and that kind of thing, when he helped her put together the idea of the pool that we wanted. So this is the this is what the size of the pool. You can see it's four lanes. This is from Dalhousie, New Brunswick. Obviously the size of the walls are going to be different because we're proposing that the dressing rooms be the entry point to the pool. And there's a model on the table that people can come and look at after and have a better idea of the, what the pool would look like. This is the inside of the pool. You can see there's a slide, there are four lanes. What you can't see over on the side is the therapy pool. So what we're proposing for the structure on the around the pool is a dome. The group that we've been working with, that Deborah's been working with, is the Farley Group. They originally were Yaden, so some of the pictures I'll show you have the name Yaden on them, who have now merged within the Farley Group. They have more than 40 years experience. They would do the entire installation of the dome. They would also provide a service commitment for the lifespan of the dome. It's possible to have different colors so that it looks more like Queen's Place. It's possible to paint it. And we're also proposing a fence on the outside to protect the structure and for aesthetics. So these are just some examples of pools. This is a pool in Virginia, the inside with it, and you can see there's skylights, the lighting coming down from skylights in that. This is in Washington State, a larger pool. This is the exterior of a pool in New Jersey. And this is a pool in Anchorage, Alaska, and we chose that slide to show because they have winters worse than ours even. And also that they have made the outside of it, have painted it in some artistic way. So the dome has three layers. The air provides the insulation of the dome. Two of these layers are heated, which, and actually this structure has less heating costs and condensate than a steel structure building. There's a snow sensor on top, which automatically increases if there's snow. If we have a skylight, which we would propose having, it decreases the cost of daytime lighting, plus it's aesthetically appealing. The air handling, there are two fans, one to circulate the air and the other to keep the dome up, keep it structured. And there is a generator as part of the supply to, in case there's a power failure. We're also proposing a fence to protect the structure from wind, snow removal, et cetera. And that fence is designed to simulate the exterior of Queen's Place so that it would blend in a little better. This is what it would look like in the daytime. That's where the pool would be and the fence would be on, around it. And nighttime, the way the light would come through the dome and shine through the slats looks very much what Queen's Place looks like at night, the same idea. The pool itself is, as in the original Queen's Place plans, 25 meters, four lanes, also with a small hot therapy pool, a slide, a diving board. It would be wheelchair accessible, and as well there would be a platform which could be raised up and down for toddlers. And it's important, the wheelchair accessibility, because that's how it can be used as a therapy pool. It could, would have a capacity of 146 people. So, of course, everyone's saying, what's the cost of this? The dome itself is not very expensive. It's $235,000 for including the insulation. The additions would be propane and electricity insulation, a graded beam of $60,000. The fence, we're estimating at $100,000. The pool, we're asking the region for excavation for the pool. The pool itself and the deck is $850,000. So the total plus HAT is still under $1.5 million. So if we add $500,000 unknown on top of it, the whole structure is still under $2 million. The annual operating cost And this is based on Dalhousie, New Brunswick, because the pool is the same size, the population is about the same size, is that there would be one administrator and 20 lifeguards for an annual expense of $150,000. You see the propane, mechanical, lighting, and miscellaneous bills, and those are quite precise for the size of the building that we have estimates for a total of $263,000. So income, we would estimate membership, total membership at $50,000 a year. That would be for annual memberships of 300. All these are estimates. All these are just where we could get figures. Obviously, they will change. It's 100 for a quarter, 35 for a month. Daily passes earning $30,000 a year, and these are based on numbers that we've gotten both from LCLC and from Dalhousie New Brunswick. Rentals, classes, learn to swim, etc. For an annual income of $100,000, which leaves us with an annual deficit of $163,000. How do these memberships compare? And this is 2014, so LCLC only had 600 pool members, but that was in their first year of operation, and they anticipate at least tripling that. Dalhousie, New Brunswick has approximately 400 full-time pool members, and as a reminder, their mill closed in 2007. They have an average of 130 single passes to the pool every month. And interestingly, more than half of their membership comes from corporate sponsorship. So we would propose raising $5 million for this pool. We would, so we're estimating that, as you saw before, about $2 million for the construction and operating fund, setting aside $3 million for the operating expenses. So with an investment of $3 million and withdrawing $125,000 a year, with a return of 3%, we still would have this fund with the initial $3 million raised for over 20 years. The committee of fundraisers would include advisors, people who know about fundraising, could give us some information, but who might be in a conflict of interest, who themselves raise money. There would be door knockers, as some of us have experience with fundraising. We would look for national and international corporations, private corporate sponsorships for about $2 million. The government, we're looking for another $2 million. Local corporations and foundations, $500,000. Individuals, $300,000. And fundraising activities, $200,000. We would expect to be able to get the money within 3 years. And at 80% of reaching the money, that is when we get $4 million, we would go public and ask for, you know, public signs and information. The savings would be the mills and pool does need replacing, and this would be an option instead of replacing the mills and pool to do this pool instead. There would be heat recovery from the rink, which was in the original design, and there is a modern Dectron heating system that we would use, which Dalhousie New Brunswick is moving to this year because of the cost of their older system. Other possible savings would be multi-level membership. So, you know, pool plus or minus the fitness center plus or minus the walking track plus or minus the rink. The other possibility are lifeguards. The YMCA across the country uses volunteer lifeguards and instructors whose reward is to get free membership. You couldn't obviously staff the whole thing that way, but particularly like weekends or evenings, you could have students or something volunteer and they would get free membership to do so. Classes would come with membership, and the charging for non-members might add value to membership, and you might actually get more people coming in. So what are we asking of the region? First of all, we're asking for approval of this proposal in a timely manner so that we can begin fundraising right away meaning in the next few months. We're asking for pool site excavation, pool site preparation including excavation. If there is this commitment to do that excavation, preparation and excavation, that acts as an in-kind contribution and will be leveraged to go to the provincial and federal government. We're also asking for some money for brochure design and printing that we could use when we go and do the fundraising, and then a meeting space for information sessions. Queens Community Aquatic Society name has been approved, and we wanted to wait till after this meeting and move forward and formalize the application, complete the application, which is just ready to go, have the full status, and then apply right away for charitable status so that we can be able to give tax receipts and be able to use the money investing in a wider way than if it were to go through the region. We would want to start government and corporate fundraising as early as April and have $3 million donated or pledged by a year from then. Ambitious, but it's there, the money is there, it's just for us to find it. Long term, we think the value added to the community might make in time, say 5 or 6 years, a tax increase of 1% acceptable if people are using it. In the worst case scenario, suppose we don't raise that $3 million for operating funds, but we do for the cost, the dome can come down and the pool will operate in the same way that the Milton Pool has been operated, as an outdoor pool. Obviously, it's preferable to have a year-round pool. You'll have a healthier, water-safe community, more mobile seniors, more developed youth, and fewer drownings. We think this is a win-win proposition. Since most of the people in Queens County have wanted a pool, our proposal is cost-effective, and really with the funds raised, when we raise that $5 million, the region actually loses nothing, and has the possibility of gaining more membership into Queens Place because people would be drawn into the pool. Nova Scotia Health Authority sees a pool as a health-promoting facility, and we also have the potential to incorporate it into the school curriculum. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other questions from members of council?
Somebody always has to go first, so I'll do it. Thank you, Celeste and Deborah and committee. I know you've been working hard at this, and I agree that you should be given your answer in a timely manner. I know it's been a drudge, and you are all deserving of a response. So I hope you get one that you like.
Thank you.
And great presentation.
Maybe I can comment on that particular point, because the region has been doing some work on this as well. And we expect to get our report from our consultant, what about mid-January, Brad?
Yes.
So we would sit down as soon as we get that report with the committee and work through that and discuss it with you. So from a timely point of view, that's our time frame at the moment, and if that works with you.
May I ask if they're aware of what the region's consultant's looking at?
I don't know. We're looking at we met the committee some while ago. As a result of that, the staff took the proposals, the outlines, and are looking at how it would fit, how it measures up, whether the numbers that we come up with match your numbers, all that kind of thing. Because when you go ahead, and I see Celeste nodding, because I think we're on the same wavelength. We want to make sure that the numbers we have are real numbers, that we are working towards a common goal, a common objective. So that's the point of the work that Brad's doing and staff is doing. And as soon as we get that report, we'll certainly sit down and come together on that one. Are there other members of council who'd like to raise a question? Yes, Councillor McLeod.
Very good presentation, and I'm very pleased to have a community-driven aspect to the pool. We often, as council, are sometimes expected to generate and initiate things ourselves, and it's really good to have the community input in this. I've been at LCLC attending library board meetings because their library is there. And my last meeting last month, there was a lot of activity in their pool. And I had a gentleman who is representative on the library board from North Queens. And I know North Queens has always had the question, okay, would we use a facility in South Queens? But this person said, look at the activity here. Now, Susan, what is the difference between here and Queens Place? And I said, it has to be the pool. There was a lot of activity in that area. There were local businesses who set up little businesses in there providing healthy snacks and food and that sort of thing. And I really think that something like this, if we can manage it and afford it and create another amenity to our Queen's Place area, that certainly would drive and give more activity to Queen's Place in general. And I think this is a way to begin that process.
Others who, Councillor Frelick.
Again, thank you very much for a great presentation, and it is very timely because we were at the Engage for Health and they reached out to us, and we are looking at that. It's part of our strategic plan to create a healthier community, so it is timely. I do have a question about this model that you have here. What is that?
That is the same model from New Brunswick.
Okay.
So that is what the pool would look like.
Okay.
With all the different, the slide, the ramp for wheelchairs, and the diving board, and basically that's the shape that we were proposing.
Okay. So the dome would go over the top of that?
That would go over that. Not this, that's why that's blocked off, but
okay.
That.
It's a good pool. I've been up there when we were looking at it years ago in the 1980s. We went up and looked at it. It's a good pool.
And I really like the dome concept. That gives you a couple of options, and I know there's been some concern about it blending in with the look at Queen's Place, but I think its uniqueness is speaks for itself, and I'm not the least bit concerned about that part. So thank you again.
Councillor Fancy, then Councillor Inglis.
Again. Very much appreciate all the work you fellows. You fellows have put in a pile of work to this. You can see it's a passion, and you can see it is a need in our area. That's why we're here, to discuss it. Can it work? Can it not work? Whatever the whole factors are. But I think it's a great proposal that you brought forward. It shows everything, and I think you've looked. And I think using Dalhousie is a very good way to look at it. It's something on the, because I think they got like a population of a total of around 7,500 to even take the outlying areas. We've got 10, so we're in the ballpark number wise. And some of the other things you were brought up, things like with schools using it for fitness. We were talking about spin bikes over at the Queen's Place. They said how spin bikes, they take kids and put them on spin bikes and put them back in the classroom, and it settles them right down. They become for certain children. So it does have that, the therapy for the hospital. It's got a lot of aspects that are very much needed. And plus, it makes our community better for people wanting to move in.
Councillor Inglis?
I wanted to, and I'm only echoing what others have said, and thanking you very much for bringing this. I think, when we look back in time, and when we go back into the last century, things came from the community. You know, people wanted tennis, so they built a tennis court. They wanted golf, they built a golf course. And somewhere in the latter part of that century, we adopted a mindset of expecting government to do everything for us. And, we went through the process of doing Queen's Place essentially entirely as a government, and it makes it tough. I think that when things are driven out of the community by people who want them, that the community gets on board quicker, the community as a whole. And it's very exciting to have, this is the model, I think, of how we want to move forward with the community stepping forward, doing the background work, and bringing it to us, and certainly look forward to, in January, I think Mayor Clark anticipates that we can sit down and go through the respective numbers. And I think it's a great thing today that now this is out here in the public eye. There's a model. Now there's something to talk about. So thank you to everyone involved in the committee. You two get the glory because you're up in the front. But I'm sure a lot of work went in from everybody. So thanks very much.
Councillor Councilor Fisk.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Enjoyed it very much so. I'm extremely excited that if it works, it works. I worry about the cost factor of it to make sure it's not a burden to the taxpayer. The way you're presenting it, it looks very good. I'd like to see both sides to see how it comes out. Thank you.
Again, thank you both. I was impressed. I'm glad Councillor Fisk raised the business about the burden to the taxpayer. It is a concern. The burden that the Queen's Place puts on the tax rate is about 7 cents on the tax rate, $561,000 last year. We've been concerned all along about increasing that. The funding proposal that you've come forward with recognizes that concern. You and I have talked about it a number of times. I appreciate the response to that. I think it's the way to go. So again, thank you. We'll look forward to getting together with you in January when the report comes in. So thank you very much indeed. It's great. Thank you all.
One more question.
Yes.
Do you anticipate any problem getting your charitable tax number?
I don't think so. Bill Spice, do you want to answer? Did you hear his question? He said, do we anticipate problems getting our tax number? And part of, just quickly, part of it is the wheelchair ramp and the floor. We can say that it's a therapy pool. Do you want to say something else, Bill?
I really don't have anything to add, Celeste. I think, it looks like we can progress with it, but I just don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Never know until we get together.
Any other comments before we close this particular
another
section?
Another fire hazard.
There must be an election.
I just want to say, concern about the tax burden on the taxpayers and the fact that Queen's Place is in the deficit position. However, from the positive side, if there was more activity and more opportunity to hold other events that we cannot qualify for at the present, and that is like the 50-plus games that we could host here if there was a pool, the Special Olympics, which could be held here, those sorts of things, then we would be in the market to be able to hold those events if we had a pool on site. And those are losses that we have right now but could be gains in the future.
Okay, we're moving off that item, so thank you both very much indeed. Thank you. Item 4 on the agenda is the tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled? That brings us to item 5 on the agenda, which is questions from members of the public or comments from members of the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to make a comment or ask us a question? Do you want to just take a few seconds for some people are leaving, we'll wait for that to happen. And thank you all for coming. Okay, Mr. Robertson, would you?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson, College Street in Liverpool. Concern here and looking for a bit more information perhaps with respect to 8.2 on your agenda, the future of the Sunshine Airport, and referring back to when you had the presentation here, I believe it was in October of 2014, when they were in and made a proposal to the flying club did to operate or work in here at the airport and work with the drag race people and so on. And now I see negotiations have come to a halt, I guess, and to a hitchhiker, I believe it's mentioned here. And that's and a proposed motion, I guess, proposed to the airport, and that looks not too good, really, economically, because of the fact that it should be used for an economic driver if we can get somebody to operate it, get some things going there. And I'm wondering just how much we're promoting it. And I'm wondering perhaps maybe if we put out a request for proposals or something, maybe to have somebody to lease the airstrip and so on, and run it, and bring in a bit of revenue for the region. I don't know if that's been considered, and I understand that you're having a special project or project coordinator coming in for a period of time. Perhaps maybe that's something that person could look at. I hate to see it closed. It's been there for a while, and I realize that it's not doing too much at this point in time, and in fact, it's deteriorating, I think, quite quickly.
I think if you listen to the discussion during the debate, you'll find out what's been happening, but the points that you raise have all been addressed. Yes.
Okay. I hope I'm still able to be here at that time because I have no meetings. Hopefully I'll be here for the discussion. Thank you, sir.
Is there anybody else who'd like to, Mr. Dagley?
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane, Liverpool. I have a few issues today I'd like to bring forward. And first of all, I'd like to say that I'm very pleased to hear the presentation today in the swimming pool, and hopefully it will progress forward for the residents of Queens. I'm also pleased to see on the agenda today a discussion on the purchase of the old Legion property on the waterfront. Wondering if perhaps you could share with us the future intended use by the region of that property.
I think it's fair to say that there is no firm plan. It has been, when a former council sold it, there were big plans for it. And those didn't materialize, so it really, and this is my personal comment, it's been an eyesore on the waterfront there. Also, it would get in the way, or could get in the way, of future development there. So I think that it's an opportunity to complete that piece of land, to remove the eyesore, and remove any impediment that there may be to future development down there. I mean, there have been proposals for the waterfront over the years. That would be in the way if you didn't own it, kind of thing. So there's no firm plans, but rather just to bring it in to the region's land bank.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. I would hope that council and staff would give consideration in the interim to including it as part of the waterfront park and promote and use it.
It's a logical move, yeah.
Yes, it does. Leon, earlier this morning, discussed some items on the airport, and I think it's important infrastructure to the region of Queens. It's likely to cost over $10 million to replace that facility or to build it today. I know it's been difficult for the region over the years, and unfortunately, according to the information, it's come to a recommendation to close it and not continue negotiations. If it closes, I'm concerned it may not ever reopen, and wonder if perhaps the region has explored all options with the Flying Club in its negotiations.
I think that I've sat in on much of the negotiation, and I think, like many negotiations, you run across stumbling blocks, you explore all you can. When you reach those stumbling blocks, you keep pushing around, and you know, I know you've negotiated contracts, you know I've negotiated contracts, you keep looking for holes to get around these stumbling blocks. But they aren't always there, so I think we've just reached an impasse with the Flying Club, and don't see any other avenue to pursue.
I have one other issue. I can see from the information provided today that the cost of the Milton Bridge sewer relocation appears to have exceeded estimates by about $90,000, and we're looking to increase spending there. I'm wondering if you could share with us the consulting fees that have been paid by the region to ABL Consulting, Environmental Consulting, at this point for that project.
Probably not, but Brad, did you hear the question?
Was the question how much we paid ABL?
In regards to that project.
That was a cost share between the province and the municipality, and it was less than $1,000 total.
very much.
Okay, thank you, Brett. Are there any other questions? Councillor Cox.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of points, if I may. I'm also concerned about the Associate Regional Airport and the motion to, for closure. Since my Leon Council back that ended in 96 with the formation of the regional government, each successive municipal government has looked at that particular facility with a view of closing it. There have been a number of suggestions and users and so forth over the years, but it hasn't really moved. We now have a new development structure on the South Shore in the South Shore development network, and this is a piece of infrastructure that's located right up in the middle of that territory that I don't know whether there has been any discussions with the regards of including that as part of the infrastructure that is being considered by that network. Certainly, most of the smaller airports in the province are being utilized by various groups for economic development and for economic activities. I guess I have two concerns here. One is in regard to the drag racing fraternity that has utilized that and has brought some revenue in to offset the cost of the region in regard to that facility. Also, the Flying Club have put forth a proposal, and I understand there are all kinds of roadblocks in that, one of the main ones being the time frame for leasing or whatever for them to put some money into it. But I'm just wondering if there has been some consideration of the new development network in regard to looking at that as part of the infrastructure and maybe putting some economic activity in that area with a view to being shared with the social.
I can answer that. When we started this exercise, we contacted all of the municipalities that I think are party to the RAN. And it was before, whilst the RAN was still being formed, so, and the RAN has only had, and Councillor Inglis can help me, only had a CEO for about a month, isn't that right?
Or less, yeah.
Or less. So it hasn't been an active organization, but what I can tell you is that of the municipalities that we contacted, there was only one that expressed any interest in continuing to keep the airport open, and no real suggestion, no volunteering of funds to support it. I know it's called the South Shore Regional Airport, but that really is a euphemism. It has been the Queen's Airport because no one else over the umpteen years it's been open has put a penny in it. So from that point of view, there hasn't, the other municipal governments haven't been interested in keeping it. Insofar as the drag racers are concerned, Mr. Decker is here. I think you'll see in the position paper that the closure of the airport will not affect the drag racing at all. We have a very, very good relationship with the drag racers. You're right, it does generate revenue. We can, in fact, I understand that the drag racers have a right of first refusal on the airport should it go up for sale. So that's all unaffected. We're pleased to do business with them, and we hope to continue to do business with them.
I remember back in 1995 that there was a request from, at that time, Lands and Forests, now Natural Resources, that that was an important facility for them to have in forest firefighting and this sort of thing. But now they've got bigger planes and they have other infrastructure in place, so they really don't need that anymore. That has eliminated one of the possible uses, and maybe the idea of getting some provincial government money in there to maintain it for that particular purpose. If I may, I have one more item in regard to the former Legion property. I have two concerns here. Number one is in regard to if this is purchased by the region, will the present zoning be maintained with a view to encouraging residential development on that location? And number two, and I listened very carefully to your response, Mr. Robertson, and also to Mr. Dagley, I feel very strongly that we have enough parkland, we have enough conserved land, we have enough protected land in our region, and if we can in any way possible make that a revenue-producing facility, if the region should acquire that land, I strongly ask you to please consider a movement in that direction when the region does acquire the park.
I think that certainly is council's longer-term goal. The short-term, as we indicated, was to probably fold it in to the waterfront parks there. There is a liability too, you know. It's used by skateboarders at the present time. It's not in good condition for skateboarders, so I think you've got to fix that in any case. I'm surprised the previous owner hasn't been more concerned about the liability there. But I think the initial plan is to fold it into that parkland and then to look for ways to develop that waterfront.
But I think it's also important that we maintain the Privateer Park and that area where we utilize it for privateer aids and other and Woodsman's competitions and other events. That is a very crown jewel for our area, and I think we have to maintain that. And I'm concerned that if you fold it in with that other part, the division which may result from economic development may not be favorable to the economic image of our community.
I think you're looking for threats when they don't exist.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Good. Yes, sir.
My name is Barry Mercer. I'm here with Peter Gow from Bridgewater, and we have a concern about the airport. We are members of the South Shore Flying Club that was formed about a year ago to try to reactivate the airport. And at this time, our negotiations haven't been going too well. I was surprised to hear just 2 days ago about the council's decision to take a vote on whether to close the airport or not. Being a part owner of the hangar out there, and have worked many years, in fact the last 40 years, I can remember when Mayor Murphy, I think, was mayor at that time, and back at that time it was a going concern, but certainly over the years things have changed. The perhaps our thought is if the negotiations as far as the lease arrangement with the flying club doesn't work out, if it's a financial thing, perhaps we can work something out as a user fee. Peter's an aircraft owner, and he has expressed an interest that in order to keep the airport open, he would be willing, as I know Glenn would, to pay a fee for the use of the airport. But there must be something done that we can negotiate and keep the airport open. Now, it has no winter maintenance, so from now on, it could be first snowfall, that's it, until maybe the end of May, end of March or April. Anyway, what I'd just like to see, I think it would be a sad day when you close the airport for pilots. And like I say, the aircraft owners are willing to, you know, pay so much a year for the use of the facility. And one other thing I'd like to say, here, I was there some time ago. Of course, I spent quite a bit of time there. It was always sad to see cars coming out and using the runway, you know, driving up and down for a Sunday afternoon drive and that. And I guess in the end, they just thought it was well wide open, you know, you can go out and drive around. In fact, I've seen motorcycles out there drag racing and other cars. In fact, here some time ago, just this past summer, I came into land and was coming down. I had to pull up and go around. So that was a good thing to have that fence put up there. And, for me, you know, this is only my second time in my lifetime I've ever sat in the council. I've been here once before, but I feel so strongly about this that I'm sure that we can come up with something to keep that airport open, you know, like I say. And I want to thank you for hearing me out in this day. Peter, do you have any comments?
Well, just more or less to re-up Peter Gow, my name from Bridgewater. And in regards to the airport, I think that Barry said pretty well what we're feeling. And in talking with Glenn the other day, I found out about the information you guys have in front of you now. And we're a little bit surprised that we weren't, you know, there's many negotiations, there's negotiators here all around. And we didn't expect it to come to that. We thought we'd have a little bit more notice, perhaps a deadline of a certain time. That, and it's no secret that it's a tough battle generating money for any kind of a project these days. But, you know, we want something to try to work something out where it's going to work for both sides, for the region and even the airport, of course. And in talking with Jill, I sent a little email the other night when I found out. It was a little just surprised as much as anything, and apologize for some of the spelling in it and so on, but it was late at night, and I sent it out. I think Lynn also made a request. Hopefully the council has the copy of those couple of notes. But if we were just to be given a bit more time, we realize that a decision has to be made. But we just thought that it was kind of all of a sudden there it was, and a day or so to respond. We just really don't have any, didn't have any time to kind of put forth a proposal. So the least part of it kind of, you know, just wasn't working, I guess, for either side. And but you know, there's always other ways. So we just thought if we had a little bit. That's really all we're asking right now. It's just for an extension of the, whether it's the next meeting or
thank you very much for your time. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gow. Thank you, Mr. Mercer. Just a comment. I think the way this thing started was last summer, we were looking at the airport and its usage, and we saw that it wasn't getting the use that justified the cost of carrying it on the region's books. We are desperately short of money as a region. We have some black clouds in our future. So with that, we got a response from the people, the suppliers at the airport, and Glenn came and made a presentation to council in the second meeting in October of last year. At the time, we said, okay, let's sit down and negotiate, and we agreed that we would try and bring this to a conclusion by the end of the fiscal year, which was the end of March. And that was the goal for obvious reasons, because you've got to get it done if you're going to have any money in the budget. Well, it hasn't happened. And that's why, and it's gone, you know, 6 or 8 months longer than anticipated. I think the council may have heard your comments, and our next council meeting is on the 15th of December. I have no idea what council would like to do, but it could be held over, I suspect, until the 15th of December. If you've got a concrete proposal that's going to fly, then now's the time to cut bait. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And but if you've asked for time to the next council meeting. That's when the next council meeting is. And when we reach that agenda, point in the agenda, I think we might make that proposal to council that we move it ahead to the following week.
I guess everybody else has spoken. I realize this is my second time here on Robertson College Street, and comparing comments from these gentlemen here, from the other, from Lunenburg County and so on, I think what I hear from what you're saying, you want to ask council or give council maybe to suggest to put this off for a month or so, so that we can maybe get some possible proposals in. So it appears that there might be a little bit of flicker there of light to keep this going. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak? Hearing nobody else, I'm on item 6 on the agenda, and I'd entertain a motion to approve the council minutes from the minutes of the meeting of November 24. Councillor Frelick move it, Councillor Inglis seconding. All in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. That brings us to the events framework, and this is under economic development. So Deputy Mayor Norman will make the motion, and then we'll have the presentation.
Thank you.
I think that's the correct procedure. We're going to make the motion first, then we'll have the presentation, then
that's
we'll
right.
debate the motion.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Guy. Thank you, Mr. Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As the move, it is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the events framework contained in this report to direct development of the 2016-2017 Municipal Budget and Service Delivery Plan.
Seconded by both Councillor Inglis and Councillor Frelick. Okay, Jill, give us your thoughts, please.
Okay, good morning everybody, and this is quite a lengthy document, so I thought I would take you through it step by step. It won't take too long. I know we're having a busy packed meeting today, but bear with me while I tell you what we've come up with here. So our direction back in September from council was to come up with a framework, having engaged with stakeholders, and this is in preparation obviously for our next fiscal year. So the intention of this report is to clarify what our municipal role is, to confirm our roles and responsibilities, and it's got to be understood that in future these roles and responsibilities may change, because we don't know how this is all going to flow in the first year. We're going to give it our best effort. So just as some background, I mean, we've always had a legacy of lots of festivals and events in our community, most of them community driven, going back to the attraction strategy of a few years ago. All the pillars of the three pillars have events related to them. It's a big interconnection with the fabric of our community. Just after the attraction strategy, Events Liverpool was formed, and they also have an events strategy, events attraction strategy, and this document is not meant in any way to take the place of Events Liverpool or of that strategy document. And we do have, as I mentioned, a large number of community events. This is just a few images, but there's everything from music to culture to historical to sporting, indoor, outdoor, farmers markets, all manner of events that we have here in Queens. The staff do play a variety of roles in events, and requests come in right now to all the different departments for different things. So the purpose of this is to clarify that role and also to streamline it. In 2014, a GM event, Grant MacDonald, who was formerly with Events Nova Scotia, worked with us to do a report. And his recommendations were to develop a policy framework around events, to establish a performance evaluation framework, to develop municipal role clarity, make a transparent policy and to create a legacy framework. So these are some of the objectives that we are hoping to have achieved in the framework we've developed. Looking at stakeholders, there are many and varied who play a part, you know, from Events Nova Scotia, South Shore Tourism, residents, business community, ourselves, the Wren, and community organizations, most importantly. So for the purposes of this report, we are defining events as a planned public or social occasion, including live performances and entertainment, culture, sports, and experiential opportunities that attract attendees from outside the region of Queens. And for this report, we're not going to consider hockey tournaments attracted to Queens Place because that's part of their normal business. So the focus here, and the reason I'm presenting this, is because we're taking it all through an economic development lens. But that's not to say that the work that went into this document didn't have a lot of participation from other members of the management team, because a lot of departments are involved in local events. I don't expect you to read those, but just to say there's two overall goals. I'm going to take you through the different actions. So goal number one is to develop community capacity, and goal number two is to align municipal support to council priorities and the events framework. So goal number one, developing community capacity. We find we have a role in some events and not others. Some come to us for, you know, a lot of whether it be money and in-kind support, or one or the other or both, and others don't look for anything, and you know, we do our best to promote them on our website and social media at the very minimum. We do have a lot of facilities that we've developed a database. That was back in the days when we were working with Events Liverpool on their strategy. We came up with 82 potential venues, and that's everything from Queen's Place to a small community park. But recommendation to council is that they recognize that the most successful approach is to focus on the municipal role as a supporter of community-led events. So action number one, Events Liverpool, as you will probably know, is a collaboration of the business community, those that benefit from having visitors from outside our community coming in. So that can be accommodations, restaurants, store owners, gas stations, etc. And it is under the Chamber of Commerce. What we want what we are recognizing is that the potential capacity in this collaboration and working with the business community gives us a greater capacity to try and program and organize events rather than us trying to do it independently. So some of the ways we can support Events Liverpool is obviously maintaining that database, creating some kind of performance measurement program, promoting events as we do currently through the channels that we have, developing some kind of an online event planning toolkit that event organizers can access, and that will help them to have a roadmap through the process of working with the municipality, facilitation of community capacity building, and creation of a single input to the municipality for support of events. So rather than people having to go knocking on various doors, they would come into a single point and work from there. And obviously funding is another way that we support. This is a bit of a sidebar issue, something maybe to consider, and something that came up when we were talking with stakeholders was the a proposal to fund an events coordinator. sort of on the lines of how we have the EMO coordinator. It's the same amount of money, $7,500. It will be a grant, a two-year trial period, and we would offer office space for them. In addition to that, Events Liverpool have asked if they could be party to some of the confidential negotiations that are going on in regards to bringing bigger events. And we're saying that if that were to happen, they would have to sign a confidentiality agreement. But their point with that is they want to be able to have a heads up on something that's coming in so that they can work to package it with their business and leverage as much benefit from it as possible. And we also want to develop capacity in North Queens with the Board of Trade and South Queens as well to ensure that we're considering events across the whole municipality. So we see community-led development as being something that does nurture the passion and the content expertise and commitment of that we as government can't easily replicate. So having the business community involved puts them more in control of the benefits that they can accrue from having events in the community. Action number two relates to Queen's Place, and Queen's Place obviously is our key community facility, and they are attracting hockey tournaments, skating competitions and other arena-related events which are key to them achieving their utilisation targets. Council has requested that staff replicate the success of the Blue Rodeo concert earlier this year in 2016, and Queen's Place staff manage this within their existing duties and headcount. Region of Queens has limited capacity to develop and produce events outside of this scope. And because of that, one opportunity we could explore would be to work with the Astor Theatre Society because they do have a lot of capacity and contacts. So there is a potential there that we could negotiate an arrangement with them whereby they help with those concert developments and there's some additional revenue for them out of it as well. Action three is event impact reporting. So the proposal is to bring to council next December a report which gives all the data collected on the effectiveness of the event, the main events that come into this criteria next December. So that would be things like the impact on local accommodation, businesses on Main Street, how many people attended, were they satisfied, what are their age demographics, and things like that. At this point, we don't know exactly how much information can be collected, but we will do as much as we can, and some of it will be qualitative and some of it will be quantitative. Action number four is a proposal to have a municipal events action team. So that would give that single input for event support, and it would standardise our delivery, it would develop consistency, and it would be a process that would be developed and communicated and available on our website. So the team would look at event applications, provide support, advice on municipal support, support their promotion, and organise sort of the logistics response where that kind of help is required. The team would consist of, on an as-needed basis, the RCMP, the Fire Services, the Recreation Department, Queen's Place, Engineering and Works, Bylaw Enforcement, and Economic Development would actually be the single point of input for these requests for events. And as chair, as director, I would be chair of that that team. Action number five is legacy, and this is something that came up in our discussions with stakeholders that, and I know it was a part of the junior curling when it came here, that legacy had to be brought into those funding applications. If you remember, there was some infrastructure that came out of that, which you know, is still now available for use for other events in future. So we're not sure exactly how we're going to bring this part in that's going to work best for everybody, but there's a couple of ideas here. We could see that the event budgets that come for us for funding have a legacy component in them, which could improve the scope of the event for the future, or Events Liverpool in sort of seed money for attracting future events, or we could have it incorporated as part of our criteria when we're reviewing requests for finance. But it could be neither of those. We haven't got all the answers yet. So goal number two is align municipal support to council priorities and the events framework. And with our constrained resources, both financial and human, we want to make sure that we're as effective as we can with the time and money spent on developing events. Action number one just relates to the financials. Now this needs a bit of explanation, this current budget, because grants to organizations there, that 42,000 is not totally for events. That is the total pot of money we had for grants to organizations, so that includes other community groups, some social educational organizations, museums, there's the whole gamut in there, so it's not just events. Community grants, this is under the Recreation Department. Again, some of that facilities is for small facilities, and there's some for larger facilities, and there's some for sporting events. So again, that's got quite a some boundaries around it, and there's policies that dictate how that money is spent. Christmas on the Mersey, that was very successful this past weekend, and that investment did come from economic development this year. So we're recommending that support for the grant request should reflect the priorities of council, and again that we ensure there are events across the whole municipality. The second action is relating to municipal facilities and many of these act as venues, and so we're going to consider doing an accessibility audit that be conducted and a budget developed to remedy existing barriers. Now, this has to be wherever reasonably possible, because some venues it won't be possible to change the accessibility, but an audit will be done, and we'll come forward to council with a recommendation on what comes out of that. The third action is office space. We do have in the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Centre office space for volunteer groups, and so we're suggesting that it's given on an in-kind basis just for cost recovery of some minor expenses to two major events that need that kind of space to run their events. It would require a policy amendment to do that. So in closing, we don't anticipate any additional budget requirements unless we do go forward with the events coordinator option, and obviously the event, the accessibility audit will certainly come with budget requirements for the future, but that would be brought back to you at that particular time. So there's the recommendation. I don't know where folks were in that picture, but they were hiding, I think. Oh, you've already made the recommendation, so.
Thank you. Questions, discussion, Councillor Waterman.
Has there been any moves towards moving outside the general area of
was in her report.
Well, certainly that's the intention, that we encourage events throughout the county. But like I say, it's going to be those events that attract people from outside, primarily.
Have you worked with the Board of Trade?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the 200th anniversary, what's much presence at the musical ride, other than throwing a few dollars at it. You know, it'd be nice to have more presence, you know, with the staff members, just to let us know that we are still in the region.
You know we know you're there, and you know we're here, Councillor.
Oh, well, you know. Stuff going on.
Councillor Frelick.
I don't see anything there about we talked since we were elected about having a group of people together with Queen's Place, for Queen's Place, as a group of talented individuals within the county who have access to connections and networking to help out with that. I don't see that in this framework. Has that been talked about? Or maybe I just didn't see it.
I'm not familiar with that request, I must say.
Nor am I. So our focus was, so I'm not actually clear on, I'm not clear on what you're
talking
about.
Well, we've always called it a steering committee. I'm not sure that's the right word. But we've talked about having people that know music, have connected to music events, that live within the county, that were able to contribute to the discussions. So I see that you have a group of municipal people together as an action team, but and I don't like to use the word steering committee, but in fact it is a steering committee. And it's certainly not the first time we've brought it up, so, but I don't see it in this event strategy.
So, it, if I may, it was raised in the early years of our mandate. It was not accepted as a way of going. It was discussed, and it wasn't the majority opinion that we should move ahead with it. So that's, I think, why it hasn't happened and why we have the committee that's chaired by Councillor Fancy structured the way it is.
If I could add to that two pieces. So one, just clarity on what the Queen's Municipal Events Action Team is doing. That's purely to receive. So often right now, our engineering will get a question, then recreation will get a question, then economic get a question, and I'll get the same question. You know, sometimes it's no, no, no. No, you know, keep calling. We want to streamline the response. So it's purely about our logistics. It's not about steering about what we should be doing. It's purely our response to community groups or people putting things together. The other side to that question is around Events Liverpool, which is which needs some help. So I would, I would say that discussions at a community level on events, that would be the home, and I don't see any reason why people that want to be involved with collaborating around bringing events forward couldn't engage with that group.
But I note in here that you've also looked at the Astor Theater as a resource. The Astor Theater is no different from a Lauren Tutty who has access to country music acts across Canada. So, yet, we're saying we don't want that, but on the other hand, we do want that. So I find that a bit confusing.
So the Astor Theatre is a tenant, so certainly we could look at other options on doing that capacity, and that would be a decision of council. Obviously a financially sustainable Astor Theatre is good for the region, and they have, I mean, this is what they do every day. If there's other people in the community that do this every day, you know, perhaps we would look further at that idea. We had noted that wasn't a specific action, but an opportunity to explore. So we'll take that guidance, recommendation.
Deputy Mayor Norman.
If I could, a sustainable Queen's Place is also good for the community. And we've never had a vote, and because there's never been a motion regarding a music committee to work with the staff at Queen's Place. My opinion is it's not wanted by staff. We have excellent people in the music industry within our borders who would volunteer their knowledge and their services to help guide entertainment at Queen's Place from how the venue's set to, and there's always been a wall about listening to them. So perhaps what needs to be done is perhaps a motion needs to be drafted. And it's very different from the Queen's Place Committee on a whole, where that committee looks at all sorts of things. But Councillor Frelick is correct. We have a great wealth of volunteer that, and there's been a fear that once we let these volunteers in, they're going to overstep staff responsibility. But I really feel we've been missing a big free offer in terms of what type of performers and how it could work and all types of things. So I support Councillor Frelick in what he says. And on topic to this report, I think it's a good report. I hope we have money in our budget to hire that event coordinator, whereby that would help some of that, and perhaps it could be a start to that, because it would, I mean, Queen's Place is our biggest place to have events, and that confidentiality agreement would be so very important. I do have one question, though. We excluded hockey tournaments, and I guess I ask why, because we haven't excluded figure skating competitions. So what was the reasoning to pull out hockey tournaments out of events and not figure skating or other ice things? I mean, where did that come from?
So that was actually from me, just to provide some clarity as we were trying to discuss this, because we should be chasing hockey tournaments every day, and that's the Queen's Place thing. That's their natural business, same with figure skating. The focus that I was trying to get on was the things outside of that for this framework.
Okay.
So, and our staff team wasn't clear on that, because it's such an important part that we're trying to attract tournaments and attract things, that it could completely have dominated the discussion on events, in my view, at this point.
I'd like to clarify, when Councillor Frelick was talking about a steering committee, that was the kind of thing that we weren't in favor of the Queen's Place as a whole. I agree with the use of talents, call it what you will, but not a steering committee, but I mean a group of people whose talents you can use and range you can pick. I think we're missing it by not doing that. Councillor Fancy, I set you up for a question, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. There's a few things that I want to bring up. The steering committee, as we have realized, it was becoming almost redundant. We were regurgitating facts that we were bringing up here in council. So we ended up doing the same thing over and over. So we do know we need to look at it differently. I know she didn't put it in here, but I think it's something we need to further, because we still have to have the committee. We have to have a group that goes forward, not have it. And the whole problem and the whole question of all these things are, if you bring everybody together and all of a sudden starts going this way and that way, it can be a problem. It can be subcommittees underneath that can be able to work like that. But yeah, that needs to be restructured and how we're going to do it. The other thing that I see about it with the events Liverpool, they will enable the municipality to share the status of concert development with local businesses. I think that's a great thing for them, because I know it's different things that go on. They want to know what's going on, but where do you bring them in? Because you do bring them in where we hit here at the council with it, which I think there should be a level in between before they, you know, we come to that, because you don't want something blurting out that never happens. So as long as we understand there's a level in between, it doesn't just happen that we're all of a sudden bring something to the floor here so everybody's going to be here to hear. And then the Astor Theater, if they want to do a concert per se, well then it becomes at Queen's Place, if we're going to allow that, then it comes all that cost factor along with it too, that they have to be able to understand that there is, you know, just say we're going to do a concert. Because as we understand the cost and everything, it's a big undertaking, and I think it all should still go under fee. It should never be that the Astor Theater wants to do this. It still should go underneath the general thing. And just one other small thing, but when we look at the parks and such as that we look at in Action Number 2, is that all the parks we have? That are in Queen's Park?
No, that we have about 50 some odd places.
I didn't think so.
No,
so
I
these are the ones that we maintain on a constant basis, right?
I think we maintain them all, but I think it's I couldn't, you know, it's just an example of some of the parks facilities that we have. Yeah, and I should have said that, I'm sorry. Yeah.
They were identified in the event strategy as event venues, so
right,
yeah, it may not be exhaustive. Maybe we're missing a couple.
So what we're looking at things where the events take place.
Where events happen?
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
Or any place where events take place, that kind of part.
Yes, Councilor McLeod.
I know when events are held in Queens County of any nature, any size, there's always a question of how well did the businesses do, what's the economic impact of these events, and I think, is that, clarify this, Jill, in this report, will the municipality then be providing the impact assessment of some of or all of these events, so then that can go back to the community or back to organizers, and then be a potential incentive for other events to be held here because we know how successful or not successful these events have been.
So that's a piece I'm, you know, going to have to navigate through, because it would be great if some of the events themselves could collect that information and feed it back, but there may be elements that we have to build that capacity in the organizations to do that. Maybe we have to do more. And maybe once the businesses get used to reporting it back, they'll start to, you know, do it automatically. You know, it's just going to be a process, really. And I think in the first year, it's going to need a lot of spade work to get
because the information you want to get back then would have to have some kind of a framework attached to that. Is what information is you know, appropriate?
Yes.
What benefits everyone and so on? So you have to give everybody you want to get the same information back.
Yes.
From those events organized.
Yes, exactly.
Councillor McLeod, you're dead right. We've been asking for this now since the first thing, I think, when we were elected. The first event was Nova Scotia Music Week, and we were told at that time it had generated, and I forget the number, $1.2 million in Yarmouth the year before. We were interested in knowing what it generated in Queens. We haven't been able to get that kind of information. How do we know the impact of Blue Rodeo, which would seem to mean to be one of the easier ones to do because it's so finite a period, and we don't have that information, and it really would be useful, and it can't be inventing something new. If Yarmouth could tell us in 2011 that they raised $1.2 million, I mean that we've got to be, there must be technology we can borrow and plagiarize. Yes.
Just to add more to that, that figure was found out from Events Nova Scotia in Yarmouth, and we had met with them for another festival, and they were going to proceed to give us the same information for that festival. And then the framework within Events Nova Scotia changed, so they stopped doing that. So I don't know how to duplicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's an avenue we could go down with Events Nova Scotia,
mm-hmm,
to find out how they did it, and if they have obviously they have the technology, how can we incorporate it? So that was a change quite soon after Music Nova Scotia was announced. So, but I have another question. The events coordinator, you put in $7,500. Are you expecting this person to be out there, and I've asked this question 1,000 times, looking for the next big event, the curling, some, you know, all the festival, not so much festivals, but events, such as senior games, all that. Are you expecting that within the $7,500 position?
So what we're looking for there, again, so that's creating capacity, $7,500 per year, not for the 2 years. Basically the capacity, so we're not looking for the Events Liverpool to shirk doing some of those things, but this will give somebody some capacity to make those calls, put in together some things, but there's no way we could dump replicating and doing everything on one person, let alone one part-time person. So that will, it'll be important that Events Liverpool and everybody continues to contribute to the work on community events. Same as if we get something and the application starts, we'll need people to support this person in developing bids and developing all of the other components to it. No different, like your experience with music, you can't do that one person per time.
So my question has always been, who was out there doing the work to bring the next big event here, which we know can give us a $1.5 million weekend? I don't see an answer for that, because if you're expecting Events Liverpool to do it, it's a very precarious group at best. Right now they're running without a chair, so they're not out there looking for the next big event. If we're not out there, if the part-time person's not out there, then we know that Yarmouth and Lunenburg County are out there looking for those events. Where does that fit into this?
So, strategy. So in my view, we need Events Liverpool to continue to come up with the ideas. This person, basically a day-ish a week would be chasing some of those things, mm-hmm. but they're not solo. They're not riding by themselves. So we need everybody to have their arm in it. So we've heard lots of good ideas from Events Liverpool, and this person could likely tee up some preliminary submissions or assessments and doing that, but if any of those ideas get traction, we'll have to, as Events Liverpool, work together on, okay, how can we go after this? How can we go after a curling club thing or whatever?
And is there an opportunity to partner with other groups, such as Chamber of Commerce, that there may be additional funding so that this person could work a little bit more than one day a week?
That there's definitely funding out there for cultural things that we don't tap, so that's a good question.
Councilor McLeod.
In regards to a coordinator, I recall, and Brian, you would remember this too, several years ago, the Privateer Days Committee hired an events coordinator for the smaller events held in the area, the SeaFest, Privateer Days, North Queens Fair, that sort of thing, and that person was the go-to person for any of the information that these groups needed, and right down to the laws respecting closing of streets and all that sort of thing. So that was a really helpful thing, and I think that was funded through some resources, and I think through ACOA as well. So yeah, there is opportunities out there.
Anything else on this issue? If not, I'm going to take a vote on the question. All in favor of the motion? It's unanimous with Councillor Fisk absent. South Shore Regional Airport, I don't know if you're in